morning, and welcome to Lambda Weekly. I'm Dave Taffet, and I'm here in the studio with Laron Landis, and Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Patty will be back with us next week. I was going to say next year. Well,
It will be next year.
It will be next year.
Yeah.
Happy birthday, Alex. Today is Alex's birthday. Happy birthday tomorrow, Laron.
Thank you very
happy
much.
Happy birthday on Monday, Josh?
Tuesday.
Josh is our new assistant here in the studio, our new volunteer. He's been running the board. And Doc, nothing. Happy New Year. We thought we'd just do a
year-end wrap-up show.
Year-endy type thing, but boy, did the year end. You know, the big story this year was marriage equality, right?
Yeah.
For the gay community.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, this is a gay show. So.
Yeah, that's so. I'm talking gay stuff. Welcome to Lambda Week, the world's oldest, longest-running gay and lesbian. Yeah, I didn't say that.
Right.
Okay, so but the big story this year was marriage equality. Mm-hmm. I mean, even Time Magazine was one of their finalists for Person of the Year was Edie Windsor.
Right.
I mean, it was one of the biggest stories of the year. So DOMA gets defeated in June, but already a number of states had passed marriage equality. I guess Delaware had already passed,
and Maryland, had
Maryland,
already.
Rhode Island. So there were, Minnesota.
I believe
it was those four that had passed before DOMA.
Right.
But then the DOMA decision comes down, and the DOMA decision basically says marriage is not the same as civil union, basically. And you are discriminating by not recognizing the marriage. And it was discrimination to make her pay $265,000 in taxes because she was married to a woman rather than because she was married to a man. Obvious discrimination.
Right. Well, what the ruling did was actually take away, what, I think Section 2 of DOMA?
Three.
Section 3, which is the federal government cannot recognize same-sex marriages. So
right. Now they can.
They can, and they are.
Yeah. And what's still left with DOMA is that the states don't have to recognize each other.
Exactly. Which, in some ways, I think is just as equally bigger.
Well, no, there needs to be another. That's the next Supreme Court.
That's the next Supreme Court ruling.
Because, and here's the precedent. If you marry your first cousin in Tennessee or in Florida, where it's legal, and you move to Texas, Texas recognizes the marriage. Texas doesn't say, well, we don't recognize those marriages, so you're not married here.
You're absolutely right.
If you were to come to Texas and you're living here and you're married to your first cousin and you decide to divorce, Texas is not going to say, well, we don't recognize your marriage, so there's nothing to divorce.
Right.
But if you moved from Massachusetts where you got married and came to Texas and decide to get divorced, well, we don't recognize your marriage.
So we can't give you a divorce.
And that's the case that's going through the Texas Supreme Court right now.
Since DOMA, what, there's been six states?
I guess five. Five, because one of the others, there are 10 new states this year. Actually, nine new states, one old state.
Right.
The old state was California, which wasn't affected by the DOMA decision. That one was affected by the Prop 8 decision.
Right.
They had marriage in 2008, and
it was taken away same year.
It was and taken away 6 months later on Election Day, and then overturned and overturned and overturned, and then the Supreme Court overturned again.
Right. Yes. It was a technicality. They really did not rule on the constitutionality of it. It was a technicality what won.
And what was that?
But I'll take it. The technicality was they didn't have standing.
Right. The people who brought the case because the governor and attorney general said, we're not going to appeal this case. So the Supreme Court said the people who did appeal don't have standing.
Right.
So the lower court ruling stands.
Right, which did rule on the constitutionality of it.
But when a lower court ruling stands, it doesn't have the power
of the precedence of a Supreme Court ruling.
But it's the law.
But it's the law.
So
for that district, for now.
But the Supreme Court didn't rule on it.
Exactly. That's why it's still up in the air.
It has a little bit more standing, though, than just for that region. The Supreme Court said, we're going back to that ruling, basically, by rejecting the standing argument and saying, yeah, we're going to go to that ruling. So it kind of has a little bit
A little bit, but hey, it'll be back in the Supreme Court.
Well, the next step in the Supreme Court is for somebody who's married in one state, moving to another state, and the state not recognizing them, and, you know, how does this work that I'm married today, I'm not married yesterday? Our guest right. that we had this summer, he's not married in Texas, but his partner moved back to California for a new job, so his partner is married to him, but he lives in Texas, so he's not married to his partner. How does that work? Mm-hmm. I mean, that's a perfect case. It's just idiotic.
Right. Which we kind of got a sense of that with the most recent ruling, which is out of Ohio.
Oh.
Ohio. Yeah. Ohio has judge has ruled that
this was just Monday.
A judge has ruled that a same-sex couple who's already passed was able to have it put on his death certificate that he was married.
Right. So it was a real narrow,
very narrow
ruling. It was two couples that brought this suit, and they were ruling for those two couples that the partner that's living can be put on the death certificate. And that has to do with inheritance, it has to do with
yes,
property taxes, it has to do, you know, like the Windsor case.
Mm-hmm.
If you're not married, you pay a big inheritance tax.
Mm-hmm.
If you are married, you don't pay it.
If you want to keep that, if you want to keep the property.
Yeah. So yeah. It was an important ruling for those people, but very narrow because it just applies to those two people.
And what I loved about the judge's ruling, he echoed exactly what you just said, David, and that is just because you get married in Massachusetts and then you move to Texas or whatever, that doesn't mean you're still not married.
Well, to get to this narrow ruling, this judge, it's the broadest ruling, well, for a narrow rule, it's kind of like the divorce case here in Dallas. What Tina Callahan ruled in Dallas was that DOMA was unconstitutional, therefore, I'm going to grant this divorce.
Right.
So it was a broad declaration that DOMA is unconstitutional, a federal law unconstitutional, by a family court judge in a municipality, and so therefore I can divorce you. So, again, it was one of those kinds of rulings. He declared the Ohio amendment
mm-hmm.
unconstitutional. He said in the rejection of the stay of the appeal for a stay of the ruling, you know, in other words, we know you ruled this, but until a higher court hears it, let's just put it on hold. He said the state showed absolutely no evidence that regular marriage that heterosexual marriage will in any way be hurt. However, these two couples will be hurt if we issue a stay.
Mm-hmm.
So,
which is very true.
Well, it's true.
I mean,
you have to pay tax. He has to,
right.
You know, who has the right to bury the partner?
I mean, that's what we've been screaming from get-go.
Yeah.
Well, how is my marriage going to affect yours?
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't. It doesn't. But
right.
Keeping me from getting married
does affect you.
Does it affect me.
It has real consequences. It's
serious consequences.
So so it was this broad ruling. It was this, you know, it was as if he was declaring the whole law unconstitutional, the whole amendment unconstitutional, mm-hmm. which he did, but then at the end says, and this only applies to this case for these two couples
right.
that the name should be on the death certificate. The implication here is that the next time a couple sues the state of Ohio, the judge has this really good ruling to go by, and he can say, well, this law has already been declared, you know, as Judge so-and-so said, the law is unconstitutional for all these reasons. Or he can say, he can just make his own ruling and say, yes, the law is constitutional, you can't get married. But then the Supreme Court has to hear it because you have conflicting rulings in the same state.
Right. Well, another case that has a really good probability of going to the Supreme Court, and that is what happened in Utah a week before what happened in Ohio.
Yeah, it was like on Friday. Now,
uh-huh.
When you're going through the states that have marriage equality, number one was Massachusetts.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so we might have guessed it would have been Vermont or Hawaii, right?
Right.
Okay. So New York has marriage equality. Big surprise, right?
You're right.
Yeah. Okay. California.
Big surprise.
But you know what? when I heard that state number 18 was Utah, I said, I told you that Utah was going to be state number 18. And you know what? I don't know who 19 through 25 are going to be, but 26 is going to be Mississippi. It's my prediction.
Oh, wait. So you're putting prediction. Texas, I mean, you're putting Mississippi ahead of us?
Well, I don't know where we'll fall. I said I don't know who numbers 19 through 25
are going to
be. That's
true. Oh, Lord, I hope.
26, mark my words, 26 will be Mississippi. So we'll keep counting. And
but you know what? David is joking, but there is a lawsuit pending in Mississippi.
There is. It happens to be a very strong suit.
It's
a real good one. But somehow I don't think... You see, the Texas lawsuit, there are two suits going through Texas. There's that divorce case, which is a terrible case, because what the ruling, or what the defendants were trying to prove was, or trying to get the court to say, is that you don't have to recognize the marriage to grant a divorce.
That's what their argument is.
Well, how do you do that? You have to recognize a marriage, because if you don't have to recognize the marriage, then Doc and I can go and get a divorce. There doesn't have to be a marriage there to divorce us.
Well, that case is one of two cases that were in Texas. Another case, almost the exact same situation, where it just happened to be a lesbian couple, mm-hmm. down in Austin.
Those were two were being taken together.
Now they were, but yeah. they were filed
the
separately.
Supreme Court, yeah.
And their case was appealed to their mm-hmm. Local appeals court, and they upheld their divorce.
Right. And the whole thing has gone to the Supreme Court
yes.
now. And we should hear something about it within the next couple of months. The other case, though, is there were two couples, one couple from Plano, one from, I think, San Antonio. They filed suit in San Antonio to have the Texas amendment, declared unconstitutional. So,
yeah.
And we'll see where that one goes. That's actually a stronger case.
I would think so.
But this argument that you don't have to recognize the marriage to grant the divorce, which is what Georgia is actually doing. Georgia is granting divorces to same-sex couples.
Georgia, the state of Georgia?
Yeah.
Oh, I hadn't heard
about
this.
Yeah. And that was part of their evidence. They said other states are doing this, like Georgia. They're not recognizing the marriage other than for the purpose of divorce.
Right.
But they want us to not recognize the marriage at all. I don't see how you do that. Mm-hmm. I mean, it just doesn't make common sense, just so that you can say you never were married. You know,
it just doesn't make sense.
It's a bad argument. It's a bad case.
Well, let's before
but Utah.
But Utah, I mean, that was no one expecting that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm still having to pinch myself. And finally, I think there was one
hundreds of people
have got
lined
marriage.
Up to get married immediately.
Immediately, you know, and there was one county that held out. As a matter of fact, the county that office, that clerk shut down that mm-hmm. entire.
Mm-hmm.
office, so there were no marriage licenses being handed out.
Fine.
For like a day or two. Fine, because fine. He said until the clarity of the rule, I'm like, it's already clear. what are you confused about? The judge said that they have a right to get married. And I don't know what he was waiting on. And in the process, now they have appealed twice for a stay.
Mm-hmm.
Twice it's been denied.
Right.
So their last holdout, or
Last hope
is appeal to the Supreme Court, just for a stay. And this isn't for a ruling, just for a stay. And that would be Sonia Sotomayor.
Right, because the nine justices are each one's assigned to one of the appeals,
yes,
one of the
yes.
nine appeals districts. And that's hers.
That's her. So we'll see how that...
Well, the thing is, I bet if it was Scalia, I just bet that an emergency stay would have been issued as it was being handed to him. She's had this stay for several days and not a word. I don't see that she's rushing.
No. I don't think they filed it yet.
Oh, they didn't file it.
They haven't filed it yet. They said they were going to do it immediately. Then just like day before yesterday, they said they're waiting.
Well, I think part of the... Yeah, you're right. I had heard that.
Yeah, they're waiting.
I bet what they're waiting for is the first two times that they appealed, the reason that the stay wasn't granted was that they were told you're not giving us any arguments to grant the stay. You're not showing us how the state's being harmed here
exactly.
in any way. So maybe they think that they need to...
I mean, there are legal reasons why someone has a stay that's granted. It's just not...
Yeah, it's not just given just
it's just not given.
I said
it's,
so.
Exactly. There are legal reasons. You have to meet some criteria. And that I don't see any criteria being met. No one's being harmed.
Right.
So
I guess they're trying to figure out some new reason that in Utah people are being harmed because people are getting married. And in the other 17 states... not being harmed so much.
So I guess
Utah is that one is just so bizarre.
It is bizarre. I guess we could say this is the gayest legal year on record so far.
Yes, in that there have been so many legal rulings about it.
It really has.
Let's talk about a couple of those other rulings. You're listening to Lambda Weekly, the oldest, longest-running gay and lesbian radio show anywhere in the country. I'm Dave Taffet here in the studio with Laron Landis. We'll be back with more Lambda Weekly right after this.
The Dallas Volunteer Attorney Program, a joint initiative of the Dallas Bar Association and Legal Aid of Northwest Texas. It is an organization dedicated to increasing and enhancing pro bono legal services to the poor in Dallas through the recruitment, training, and support of volunteer attorneys. DVAP offers numerous legal clinics for Dallas County residents. For more information, dallasbar.org/DVAP.
Welcome back to Lambda Weekly. I'm Dave Taffet here in the studio with Laron Landis. I almost said the late Laron Landis. The late Patty Fink will be back with us next week. She was supposed to be here this week, but she and Aaron are driving back from Louisiana visiting
yes.
Aaron's family, and guess what? They're late.
You think they had any visits with Phil Robertson's family?
Oh, I don't know.
We'll have to ask them when they get back.
Yeah. Probably not. That's northern Louisiana. They go southern.
That's
Louisiana.
Right. That's right.
Probably not. We were just talking about legal rulings that went on this year. I'm trying to think. There was the...
Well, we're trying to think of the states that have gone marriage equality this year, which has been a total of 9.
Right.
Not counting California. And it's been a mix of rulings and... half of them have been through the state legislatures that have just passed it.
Right. New Jersey, when they passed their civil union law a number of years ago, they set up a commission as part of the law to make sure that civil unions were equal to marriage.
Mm-hmm.
And of the first 1,000 people who got married in New Jersey, 500 of them filed a complaint that I work for UPS and UPS is not giving us insurance. If you're married, you get insurance for your partner. If you're civil unioned, you don't. So not equal. There were big things like that. But there were, I'm sure some of them were smaller type complaints. Well, it took all this time, and it's been, 5 years?
Something like that.
They've had a civil union law for the New Jersey Supreme Court to finally rule it's not equal. And what pushed them was the Supreme Court decision. And all of the rulings coming down from the federal government, all of those federal rulings are saying things like, if you're married, not in a civil union, you can file joint taxes. If you're married, not in a civil union, you can even amend your taxes for the past 3 years. If you're married, you're entitled to your partner's Social Security benefits. If you're married... And it's one thing after another. If you're in the military, you're entitled to all of those military benefits, pass to get on base, medical coverage, all that stuff that married couples get. So it was real obvious that it's been ruled by the Supreme Court civil unions are not equal. Separate is not equal. I mean, they're just going by old precedent.
Yeah.
Separate but equal is not equal. There really are all of these things that are discriminatory. Married couples get these. If gay people can't get married, they can't get them. That's discriminatory. That's the direction the Supreme Court's going. So New Jersey ruled, and they tried to pass something through the legislature then to have a marriage law. That failed, but marriages started in New Jersey within a couple of weeks of
ruling. They passed... I believe, twice a marriage equality bill.
And, it was vetoed.
And it was vetoed.
But they tried, once again, after the court ruling, they tried to pass something. Okay. And it just died in the legislature.
Okay.
Yeah, for whatever reason.
The other one, the other big story, I think it was a big story because it became, it was full circle, but a lot of people weren't surprised about it, and that is Hawaii.
Mm-hmm.
Hawaii is where all of this kicked off.
Right. The first, Lewin decision back in 1993.
Back in 1993, yes. And
the case started in 90. And do you know, what was his name who was the, he was the attorney on that case. He was on our show, actually, in the studio back in the crack house. You know, talking about it back in 1993, when it finally passed. But, yeah.
That's what, and it's funny because a lot of people have, since then, thought you could get married in Hawaii. I'm like, no, you can't.
but now you can.
But now you can. So
now, the special sessions that Texas had, Texas special sessions of the legislature this summer were called to pass restrictive abortion laws.
Mm-hmm.
The governor of Hawaii called a special session for one purpose, and that was to pass marriage equality.
Pass marriage equality.
The right wing was screaming, and they were saying, no, we have an amendment. Their amendment, which was actually the first amendment, the first state amendment that passed back in 1997 or 8.
Yes, and their amendment did not...
Their amendment allowed the legislature to define marriage. It didn't define marriage.
Yes.
It allowed the legislature to define marriage. So these right-wingers were, you know, they were screaming and they were saying, no, we have an amendment, we have an amendment. Yes, you do. Here's what it says.
Right. It didn't,
and the
it didn't ban same-sex marriage.
No, it allowed the legislature to define. In 1998, the legislature did define. And in 2013... the legislature redefined. So finally, Hawaii. New Mexico was another court ruling.
That was a court ruling.
That one was real interesting. And New Mexico got same-sex marriage in a way that no other state has. The way that happened was in Las Cruces, the county clerk read the state constitution along with several other county clerks and other people, and they said, it doesn't mention gender in the marriage law.
Does not.
It doesn't say that we should have, should or shouldn't have same-sex marriage. So the county clerk in Las Cruces said, so I'm going to do it.
and it started to spread.
And it did. It spread to 8 counties. I think 3 of them, it was just the county clerk who decided, I agree with him.
Mm-hmm.
In 4 or 5 of them. What it was court rulings. And what the court rulings were that a couple with a very sick partner wanted to get married and was asking, please grant us this marriage. And what the court ruling was the county clerk needs to be issuing marriage licenses in Bernalillo County, in Santa Fe County. And they were kind of, you know, was let me get married because of these special circumstances, and the ruling was countywide because it was just a district court, and so it went countywide. So 8 counties had it. It covered about half the state's population. There was only one populous county, really, that did not have same-sex marriage, and that was the one between Albuquerque and Santa Fe that originally had same-sex marriage 3 or 4 years ago and was under court order to stop issuing. So... anyway, the county clerks got together and they said, this isn't going to work, that because of the 8 counties, it touched all the corners of the state. It wasn't a cluster anywhere.
Right.
There was the southern one, there was one that touched Texas, there was one that touched Arizona. It was really spread out. And they said, that doesn't work.
They needed some legal clarification.
And so they asked the Supreme Court. The Supreme Court said, in an interesting ruling, it was a very clear ruling.
Unanimously.
Yeah.
I love that.
But the Supreme Court said very clearly, probably the intent was never to allow same-sex marriage. So even though we don't define it, that wasn't the intent. However, here are all the ways that it discriminates. Our Constitution clearly states that You can't discriminate against a group because you don't like them.
Right.
That's what the ruling was based on. Mm-hmm. It was based clearly on discrimination and due process.
Their state constitution.
Their state constitution, as well as the 14th Amendment. Mm-hmm. So it was an interesting court ruling. It's a real clear court ruling. The court ruling in Utah was a terrible ruling, actually. It's a mess, that ruling. The New Mexico one is one that you would want to base future cases on. The Utah ruling was really funny. Scalia wrote the dissent in Lawrence v. Texas and in the Windsor case. And he was really very sarcastic. He said, well, this is just going to lead to same-sex marriage in the Lawrence case.
And it has.
Uh-huh. And that was one of the things that the Utah ruling was based on. See, Scalia said in Lawrence v. Texas that getting rid of the sodomy laws is going to allow same-sex marriage. So that's even the dissent in that one that's saying that. So therefore, that's one of the reasons we're allowing it.
Well, maybe it wasn't the most brilliant written opinion, but I'll take it.
Oh, no. What I like about it is that it's such an amusing opinion.
It is.
Because I guess it says to Scalia, really, keep your sarcasm out of your rulings because it might come back and bite you in the butt.
Yeah.
Which this one really did.
It did. So.
So, nice.
Very nice.
Yeah.
Well, some other local news here, just wrapping up the end of the year news. Let's stay in Texas. Some interesting things are going on down in Houston.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, Houston has it's the largest city in America with a gay or lesbian mayor,
mm-hmm.
Anise Parker. And, about a month ago,
she issued an executive order.
Issued an executive order that's allowed domestic partnership benefits for gay and lesbian employees, and that has been challenged by two citizens, nonetheless.
The same ones who did their ordinance. In the city charter, there was a city election about 15 years ago, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Houston had offered partner benefits back then. It had a non-discrimination ordinance back then. And there was a citywide election that repealed that and put discriminatory language into the city charter. So actually, to change it, Houston has to have an election. But Anise Parker issued an executive order allowing married people to get benefits based on the DOMA decision.
So that's what makes this different from here locally, mm-hmm. Dallas County, because mm-hmm. we have a domestic partnership benefits here.
We do have domestic partnership benefits.
So does El Paso.
But and so does Austin.
So does San Antonio. So I was wondering, why was this one any different?
Because of that.
And that's the difference.
That charter amendment that was voted on years ago. Other cities don't even have that kind of ability to take something, put it in. Actually, San Antonio does. And San Antonio is challenging their non-discrimination mm-hmm. ordinance right now. They failed in getting enough signatures. They needed 60,000 within, I think it's 45 days, needed 60,000 signatures. They got 20,000 signatures to repeal. So now they're doing a recall against the council member who sponsored it. The only thing is, the ones who are against it don't happen to live in his district particularly. they live in the... They live in another district. let's say probably in Ms. Chan's district.
Yes.
She's the one who...
who's running for state...
who made all these homophobic comments. Yeah.
Only
in Texas would bigotry advance your political career.
Exactly.
Like it did hers. But anyway, so with Houston, what Lambda Legal did now was actually sue Anise Parker.
And the city of Houston.
And the city of Houston. She's the representative. Even though she's the one who issued the
executive order,
you have to sue her because she's the representative of the government there.
Right.
It's a strange thing.
The two citizens who are challenging this executive order, they want an initial stay.
Yes.
A judge did.
Yeah, it's shocking that a judge in Texas ordered same-sex couples to not get insurance. Yeah,
but now they have, you know, struck back, and they've had this case moved out of the district totally.
Mm-hmm.
It's now in, they've moved it to a federal federal court. Mm-hmm. So that's good. I mean, I think the chances are better of a favorable ruling for us, but you still never know what's going
to
happen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, a federal court is more likely to listen to a Supreme Court ruling than a local Texas court that's going to say, well,
right.
Yeah, they can rule that in Washington. It doesn't apply to us.
Yeah, well, you know, anything they do in Washington doesn't apply to Texans.
Yeah. Anyway, when Anise Parker was on our show, we asked her if she and Kathy, her partner of 23 years, if they were going to get married. And she said, you know, I'm waiting for Texas to have same-sex marriage because I want to get married here. And seems as though they're going out of state now to get married because
after a while, you just what are you waiting on? Just go do it.
Well, it has to do with the Windsor decision.
Yeah.
She and Kathy could file joint taxes. She and Kathy, if this ordinance goes through or if Anise goes to work somewhere else after this term is up, they're entitled to partnership benefits. Right now, the mayor of the city can't put her wife on her policy.
Exactly. That's ridiculous.
Yes.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think she should wait. Go get married somewhere.
You know, there are a number of reasons that they need to.
Mm-hmm.
Just for the safety of their family. They have two daughters who are, they should be teens now. They should be early teens. They're two daughters.
Early teens, if not late teens.
Are they late teens?
I think so.
Oh, were they like 11 and 12 when?
Because and one of their sons is most definitely an adult.
He's in his 30s.
He's in his 30s. Yeah. We don't know the exact age, but he's definitely in his 30s.
Yeah, yeah. And he's not really, he's not their legal son. The story of that is really a real sweet one. I think it was Kathy heard the story of this kid who was 16, 17 years old. He had just been thrown out of his house by his grandmother because he was gay. Kathy gave him the key to the house, took him in, and then told Anise.
and he's been there ever since. Or he's been part of their family
ever since. He's been part of their family ever since, yep. Yeah.
So
that's
actually a messed up story turned sweet.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it shows what kind of people they are.
Yeah, absolutely. It shows what kind of people he came from.
Right.
Or, well, I'll say the grandmother anyway.
The grandmother, right.
Yeah, but what are some other big stories of the year?
DOMA being defeated was what a whole bunch of things have flowed from. One of the things that that came from it was the Defense Department decided that because of DOMA being defeated, the federal government can now recognize same-sex marriages, and they're going to, and they're going to make everything equal. One of the things that's real strange, we keep seeing stories, well, gay couples can now serve in Japan. That was a story this week.
I hadn't seen that one.
Gay couples can now serve in, and they give another country. But what that means is, because of the local laws, you know, gay couples can't serve in Saudi Arabia. You know, makes sense, right?
Right.
Yeah. It has to do with being able to be deployed with your partner, and certain other benefits that that you get as a result of, you know, being married. But with all of these benefits that flowed from this, like all the health benefits and the, you know, inheritance and who you contact in case you die.
Right.
I mean, that's a big one. The federal government ordered the National Guards to issue cards, identification cards, to the married spouses of gay service members.
Just like they do for the heterosexual.
And so all states agreed, except Texas. When Texas decided not to, then several other states jumped in and decided not to. Here's the thing about the National Guard. The National Guard is run by the state. It's under the control of the governor. All of the salaries are paid by the federal government. All of the equipment comes from the federal government. Maybe some equipment does come from the state a little bit. The office space is probably provided by the state. You know, the training and the barracks, the land belongs to the state. But the equipment, the bullets, the guns, the planes, the tanks, all of it belongs to the federal government. The DEERS program, the DEERS computer, which is the computer that you register for your federal benefits on, belongs to the federal government. Texas refused to register these people. Oklahoma, this went on for 2 or 3 months. Oklahoma came up with a good solution. They decided that the three federal bases, and what they were doing was they were sending you to a federal base.
Right.
So it started with this one couple in Austin. Camp Mabry is the National Guard base there. The closest base to them was Fort Hood, but they had a five-month-old baby. She didn't feel like driving up to Fort Hood with a five-month-old baby. I'm sure you can relate to that.
Totally relate.
Yeah. So what they did was Texas decided, you know, Texas is being obstinate. Oklahoma came up with a real interesting solution. They decided, of the six National Guard bases, three of them were federal, three of them were state, so they're registering everybody, gay and straight, just on the federal bases, the three federal bases, the three bases they decided were federal. Texas finally gave in and said, no, what we're going to do is we're going to just have a federal employee register on the federal computer. But you know what? They're all federal employees because, you know, who do you work for? The person who pays you, right?
Exactly.
It's the federal government. You're listening to Lambda Weekly on 89.3 KNON FM. I'm Dave Taffet here in the studio with Laron Landis. We'll be back with more right after this.
Sparky's Pals reminds you that your pets don't have cell phones, so make sure they can find their way home if they get lost. All pets should wear identifying tags and be microchipped. For more information, their website is www.sparkyspals.org. Their phone number is 214-823-7257.
This is Kimberly Trex of the GLBT Wedding Expo, and you're listening to Lambda Weekly on 89.3 KNON FM.
Nice. Hadn't heard that in a long time.
Yeah, we haven't heard the Entertainment Report music in a long time.
Well, we're just a wrap-up of, you know, some of the biggest entertainment stories of 2013 mm-hmm. in the gay and lesbian community. There's just two I'm going to focus on. And the first is some of the biggest coming outs we had of the year.
Who came out this year?
Oh, I got, there's a whole list of them, but I'm not going to go down all
no,
of them.
No, I want every single one.
But
every
one of the
person who came out.
Well, of course, there was like the no I surprise, stayed. Jodie Foster.
Again?
Yeah.
No, it doesn't count.
It counted for me. we're not going to debate that. Another one, somebody that David knows really well, Wentworth Miller.
Wentworth, yeah.
That was a big one. Who had previously denied it, flat out denied it.
Yeah, when he was working here in Dallas, you know, no, I'm not. Never
no,
went
I'm not.
To any of the gay bars. He was real
yeah.
closeted.
And, you know, I believed him, you know, I try to take people
at
if
their
they
work.
Weren't exactly. He said he wasn't gay. He's not like he's a kid. He knows himself. He's not gay.
Mm-hmm.
So he didn't give the kind of ambiguous answer that a lot of closeted celebrities give, and it's like, you know, I just don't want to answer it. It's just none of your business. Blah blah blah. And you know that's a standard answer. But no, he flat out denied
mm-hmm.
it. But he came out. And what prompted him to come out is actually what's going on in Russia.
Yeah.
So let's see here, Jim Nabors. A.K.A. Gomer Pyle.
Mm-hmm. Because he wasn't out before? He wasn't public about it.
He wasn't public about it, yeah.
Everybody knew Gomer was gay.
I
for years.
I didn't.
He had this whole thing with Rock Hudson. That's how long ago it goes back.
Oh, well, you know, I'm not that old.
Exactly. That's how
so
long
I didn't know about it.
That's how long he's been out. So
okay.
That's not a big coming out this
well,
year.
Okay. Well, Clive
that's
Davis.
Sort of coming
that's
out.
A sort of
coming
yeah. Clive Davis, that's kind of big. Tom Daley, that's an end of the very, very recent, but not a surprise.
Do you know, at the Black Tie Dinner, Dustin Lance Black.
Who's his boyfriend.
Who's his boyfriend. Was talking about he has this boyfriend who is a public figure who is not out.
Huh. Well, Now he is.
Yeah, but I mean, we had no idea who he was talking about.
Now, here's the biggest coming out of the year for me personally, I thought, was Jason Collins, the first NBA player, active NBA player to come out. So, actually, he's the first, at least here in America, active professionally sports player for a male to come out. That was huge. He finished the season. He was not picked back up. His contract ended. A lot of people suspected because he wasn't picked back up because he was gay. And but the truth to be told, you know, he wasn't like, he's good, but he's not one of the greats, you know. And he is in his, going on his mid-30s. That's about when basketball stars start to retire anyway. But at least he did.
The difference was he came out while he was still pursuing a professional career.
Exactly. I mean, he was on a team, absolutely, but he wasn't a starter. So, and then another one that I didn't even know about until I was looking at this list, and his name is Kelvin Atkinson. He's one of the senators from Nevada, and he's black. He came out, and he came out during a speech on the legislature debate. So that was really interesting. So good for him. But, you know, and again, there's a whole many more, but we definitely had some coming out this year. And also, Raven Simone. Raven Simone from The Cosby Show.
Who was the basketball player from Brittany, from Baylor?
Brittany.
I know. I'm so sorry. And she came out.
Not that
she was ever closeted, it's just she's young. I mean, why would she have been in the news? She did come out, and after that, Baylor refused to even mention her in their alumni or anything writings.
Though she is one of their best players.
Well, she's not just one of their best players. She broke records her first week in the WNBA. First week. Played two games, and she broke some records, like all-time, lifetime.
But because she's gay.
Two games. Because she's gay, we can't mention her.
We can't mention
her. The skater who came out. Going to Russia to represent the United States. Billie Jean King, who's out. It's five people in the opening ceremony, five in the closing. So Billie Jean King is going to represent. Not Rudy Galindo.
No. Oh, he's been out.
No, Brian Boitano.
Boitano, yeah.
So Brian Boitano came out.
Again, not a surprise, but still. He came out. I wasn't surprised, were you?
I was surprised he wasn't out.
So
he finally came out.
Yeah.
Okay.
He finally made it official.
But he's going to be one of the people.
He will.
Two of the five going to represent the United States for the opening ceremony are gay, and one for the closing, which is great. It makes a statement. Okay, so your other story.
So my other story is a very recent story. Of course, we're got to close out talking about Duck Dynasty. A&E, Arts and Entertainment Station, which airs Duck Dynasty, has, of course, reversed their decision to suspend him and welcomed him back on the air.
Well, and to be fair, they suspended him.
They didn't fire him. He was suspended.
Yeah.
And nobody's surprised about this. This is their cash cow. This is the biggest story in that channel. Not story. Biggest successful show in that station's history. With all the merchandise that Duck Dynasty sells, that is a cash cow for them. So that's not a big surprise.
Cracker Barrel, which took all of their merchandise off the shelves, there was such an uproar from their clientele that they put it back.
Right.
And again, I don't blame them for that, knowing who goes to Cracker Barrel, because Cracker Barrel, which has perfectly fine partner benefits and non-discrimination and all that, has this reputation from 20 years ago when if they found out you were gay, you were fired.
Yes.
I mean, this company did a 180.
Well, not only that, not just gay bigotry, racial also. They've been sued a couple of times for racial discrimination. So they've come a long way. But
you know what? Do you go to Cracker Barrel?
I've never stepped foot in Cracker Barrel. Ever.
Yeah.
Ever.
Yeah.
I pass by it all the time, but I don't know if their food tastes like or anything.
Right. So we're not their customer.
No.
You know, I give them props for what they did. Their customers wanted the merchandise. Okay.
Yeah, give it to them.
You know, and you know, before the show we were talking a little bit about why not that why A&E, not why they got away with it, but why they were able to put him back on so quickly and just end the story.
I think for those of us who supported what A&E did, we were a little upset, not surprised, but a little upset that they reinstated him or reversed his suspension so quickly. But I want to read, they issued a long statement. I'm not going to read all of it, but I do want to read a snippet of it, what A&E, in their statement, why they reversed their decision. While Phil's comments made in an interview reflect his personal views based on his own beliefs and his own personal journey, he and his family have publicly stated they regret the coarse language he used and the misinterpretation of his core beliefs based on the article. He also made it clear that he would never incite or encourage hate. We at A&E Networks expressed our disappointment with the statements in the article, and we reiterate that they are not the views we hold. I have a problem with their what they just said. First of all, they have never, ever, ever, and at least what I've read, neither Phil Robertson nor his family have once said they regret what they said. They have never said they regret it. If anything, they said
they probably did to the network executive.
Maybe to the networks, but publicly, they said publicly. They have never publicly said they regret what they said. The only thing he said was that he loves all humanity. And he did say he would never incite.
Well, he probably does. He doesn't consider you human.
Exactly. That's the point. That's the point. So, I don't know. I guess I was a little bit disappointed that they took it back so quick. But I get it. It's about money. And like I was sending you before the show, the other side screamed much louder than we did.
Right. And took over the conversation. And the conversation became about, well, he has his First Amendment rights.
And that's never what the conversation should have been about.
But I challenge any of our listeners to go to their workplace and say those kinds
exactly.
of things.
I am.
And especially, now, GLAAD actually screamed a little bit louder about the anti-gay statements than black groups did, and that surprises me.
Yeah, well, really, no, you're right, because you know,
because
like,
what he said about black people was a whole hell of a lot worse.
Yeah, I agree. And the only person, the only celebrities or public figures that I have read said anything were Jesse Jackson.
Mm-hmm.
Jesse Jackson and Charlie Sheen.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, Charlie Sheen, I don't know, you know. Mm-hmm. I'll take it. But mm-hmm. we really didn't have anybody on our side really screaming as loud as the other side. They screamed and they're still screaming. Got an online petition with like 250,000 signatures. I mean, where were the people who were saying, look, we know he has a right to say it, but we don't need to use our public airwaves for this kind of bigotry?
And I'm wondering, I mean, part of this I blame on A&E. If you're from Louisiana, I'm not talking about being a hick, I'm not talking about being a redneck, I'm just talking about if you're from Louisiana rather than from New York City or L.A., you're less media savvy. We're less media savvy here in Dallas than they're going to be in New York or L.A. If you have your number one show on your network and it's based in a city that isn't, you know, right here at home where your stars stop by the main office.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying.
Right.
It's far away. You assign somebody to them and you train them in media and you work with them to make sure that, you know, there are some things that you just don't say. I'm not telling you what you can say. I'm not stopping you from saying. It's just those aren't, you know, when you're a public figure, anything you say is at the workplace.
Yeah. Absolutely. That's the way it is. And that has nothing to do with your First Amendment rights. You know,
I can guarantee you,
had I said the same things on this show in my real day-to-day 9-to-5 job, had they got wind of it, I wouldn't have been suspended. I would have been fired.
Yeah. And you would have been off the air here.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So, I mean, this goes across the board. Everybody should be treated that way, mm-hmm. and usually are. Phil Robertson's no different.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, they screamed much louder, and they got him back on the air.
But what they said, what he said about the African American community, it had to do with people were happy under the Jim Crow laws.
Pretty much.
Yeah, you know.
Pretty much.
That's just again, you have a First Amendment right to say stupid things, but
there's consequences for it. There's no law that says, first of all, there's no law that says A&E has to keep you.
Mm-hmm.
There's no law that says any company has to keep you, period.
When they were screaming he has First Amendment rights, I believe that's freedom of religion, freedom of speech,
exactly,
freedom of the press, freedom to have your own reality show, freedom to... or is that one not actually listed in the...
I don't know. It might be in there now. I haven't actually physically looked at it lately. Maybe it's in there now.
And does it say that your right to have a reality show has to be on TV?
Exactly.
Or does that cover us because we're on radio? I'd rather that we do a TV show.
I would too.
Bigger network.
Yeah, where we can actually make some money.
Uh-huh.
Well, we need to
and
check
it's
that
right
out,
there in the First Amendment, right, that we have this right. Mm-hmm. So I think we should be able to exercise that.
Well, let's call A&E when we get off
and
the air.
Tell them that they're impeding our freedom of speech, mm-hmm, by not letting us say what we want to say on their network.
Because in all seriousness, had that show not been so popular, and again, that is their biggest show ever.
Yeah.
I get that. But if it wasn't, if they had so mediocre ratings, they probably would have just canceled the show.
You know, I think they decided to weigh in on this early because it was going on and on and on and people were talking about it still. I think they expected it to just die down. And rather than waiting until just before the show goes on the air, they made the strategic decision, okay, suspension over. He apologized.
But, you know, I wonder why they didn't hold out like the Food Network and what they did with Paula Deen. They didn't back down. Paula Deen is still gone.
Yeah, but I don't think they needed her.
No, Paula, I mean, she was one of their big stars. Absolutely.
And Best Buy has Paula Deen cookware at significant discounts right now.
Really?
We just saw it the other day.
And
Big Lots. Did I say Best Buy?
Best Buy.
Big Lots.
And, you know, I used to see her stuff in Walmart. I don't anymore. I don't know if Walmart was one of the ones
out to Big Lots.
They shipped it out to Big Lots.
And
But Food Network, they did not cave in.
Mm-hmm.
And there was some screaming and support for her also.
Yeah. Now, A&E is part of who? Is that ABC? I think A&E is part of ABC. I'm not sure which.
I thought it was part of Viacom.
Oh, is it?
I thought.
Eh, okay.
Yeah.
I'm not sure.
Viacom, which, of course, owns MTV.
And yeah. I'm
Logo.
Not sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's not like they needed them in order to... But each network has to have its, you know, its stars. And, you know, we volunteered.
We did. So, but that that wraps up our entertainment report in year end.
You know, we were talking about biggest stories of the year. DOMA being defeated, marriage equality spreading, that's
huge.
For everybody in the gay community, that's the number one story of the year. There is no other story. Do you know one story that really is pretty big? Not pretty big, very big. The Pope's change in tone for the Catholic Church. While I think Edie Windsor for the gay community was a bigger story and should have gotten the Advocate's Person of the Year, in my opinion, because what she did actually affects our lives, the Pope's change in attitude changes direction. And you have to kind of change tone before you can actually change the rules.
You know, I find the praise that this current Pope is getting rather interesting, because he just said one statement, and I'll take it. And what he said was, you know, who am I to judge? You know, I'm paraphrasing, mm-hmm, something like, who am I to judge gay people if they're trying to get into heaven or something like that?
If they believe in Jesus, I think is what...
Yeah. If anybody else has said that, it doesn't sound like it's an innocuous statement, but it's not really something significant either. But that highlights how bad we were in the eyes of the Catholic Church.
Yeah, that's a complete change in attitude.
Yeah.
And change in direction. And what he said was, we're spending too much time. He said, we're not changing the policy, but too much time on abortion, birth control, and homosexuality.
Right.
All he was saying was, you know, that feeding the poor thing might be kind of important too,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Which is a huge change in direction. And it really isn't a change in direction, it's just a change in tone. There are other things that are important. But that's a huge story for the gay community, that you know, 1.2 billion Catholics around the world, and for the first time, it's not that they've changed a ruling, it's that...
They have not.
It's that, you know, we're not completely horrible people anymore. We need to run. You're listening to Lambda Weekly on 89.3 KNON FM. We'll be back next week. The late Patty Fink will be with us, and we'll see you 1 o'clock next week.
See you.